As we dive into today's message, I want to continue in this conversation that we began in 2025 around prayer. I felt as we were starting this new year, the Lord just emphasized to me, hey, a big theme this year is prayer. We're going to have a number of series throughout the year that I'm really looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to the series in March. I can't talk much about it except that we're calling it Healthy Homes. More to come. And so we'll have series of messages, but as long as we have one-off messages like we have today, I feel like if I'm the one preaching, I want to preach on prayer. And here's why. I shared this a few weeks back when we talked about the Lord's Prayer. I feel like the Lord is saying, hey, I want to teach you how to pray, Northlands Church. And we looked at that in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' disciples actually came to him and said, Rabbi, would you teach us to pray like John has taught his disciples how to pray? And I feel like the Lord, it's just classic Northlands. We believe in this kind of underbed statement that we say, there is more. We always believe there is more with the Lord. And I believe there is more for us when it comes to our life of prayer. It's become a verse or a passage of verses kind of splintered in my mind. The Lord's been bringing me back to this encounter that Jesus has with his disciples, a father and a young man. The young man is demonically oppressed, and the father is at his end. His son's hurting himself. He doesn't know what to do. He brings the son to the disciples. They pray for the young boy, but nothing happens. And so naturally, the disciples bring the boy to their rabbi, Jesus, and Jesus commands the spirit. The boy's freed and healed in his right mind. And later on, the disciples ask Jesus, they say, Jesus, what's the deal? Why couldn't we also cast out this demon? And he makes this very provocative statement. He just says, oh, this one comes out with prayer and fasting. And I feel like for me, what I'm sensing for us as a community is there's just gonna be some things that we face this year. And it's not gonna be fixed with cleverness. I wish it would, I'm clever. It's not gonna be fixed with charisma or gifting or self-help books or trying really hard. It's a privilege and honor for me to celebrate some of the highs of the community life that's happening here. And it's also a privilege and honor to walk with many of our members through really hard seasons, that they would invite me into that space, and there's vulnerability and transparency. It's an absolute honor, and it's really hard. And there's just been some really hard moments for members and leaders in our community. And what's really difficult is simply going, oh, this isn't gonna be fixed with a self-help book. This is going to have to be fixed by the only one who can heal and make whole. We have to bring it to the feet of Jesus. Amen. And I feel like the Lord is doing that for us as a community. If I could just share a prophetic insight to help set up the sermon today, I had the opportunity to connect with a friend of the house and a partner of ours, Peter Rasmussen. You might remember Peter and Karin were with us just a couple months back as we celebrated 25 years as a community. And Peter and I were on a Zoom call. We're talking about them visiting next in this upcoming year. And I asked, my last question to him was this. I said, Peter, you have the opportunity to connect with pastors all around the world. What do you feel like the Lord's saying in 2025? And he said, I love what he said. He said, Tyler, there's this sense in my own spirit, but also I'm feeling it from the pastors around the world. He goes, there's this positive energy of hopefulness. And he says, we just feel like the year is filled with great potential. Now, here's what I just want to bring us to. I believe that we are entering into a time when we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's going to require us wrestling in the spirit and in prayer. I believe that we're stepping into a season of spiritual warfare. And you might say, now, wait a second. I thought we have some positivity and some good things happening. And this is what's so important. I just want to share this with you. I actually shared it with a group of men that are a part of our church here this morning. I didn't have a plan for it. It's on my phone, but I'll just quote it. I felt in my spirit this sense again, oh, we're coming into the promised land, Northlands Church. And part of coming into this promised land that is perfect and beautiful and just for us, oh, it's filled with giants. We're going to war. And so here, this is the account. Moses is on the threshold of the promised land. He sends out 12 spies into this promised land to take note of the land. 12 spies come back. And this is what fascinates me. Every single spy had the exact same report. They took note. They said, this is a perfect land and there's giant. And they all came back with the exact same call to action. Oh, we're gonna have to fight if we go in. The difference is the testimony. And this is so important. There were 10 bad testimonies and 2 good testimonies. Caleb and Joshua come back, they go, we see this land, there's giants in it, and we are going to devour them because this belongs to us. The bad testimonies came back and they said, oh no, they're giants. They see us like grasshoppers and they will crush us. And on that day, unfortunately, the bad testimonies overtook the good. Just as I just put this down as a slide, not even in my message yet, just this truth that bad testimonies crush great potential. Guard against that. We're in a season where prayer is the answer. And I am excited because we're entering the promised land and we're going to war, Northlands Church. And if you're here today and you're tired and you're like, Tyler, I don't have a fight in me, here's the good. This is why community matters, why we have membership. Stand behind us. We'll fight for you. If you're here today and you're on the highs of life, I am telling you right now, we are gearing up because we are going to take this land because it is ours and the Lord is with us. Amen? Amen. So I am excited. As often as you possibly can, when you have bad circumstances, have good testimonies. And this is what Peter left me with in our Zoom call that I think was so important and why I believe prayer is becoming such an essential part. We have to have heaven in our ears. That's where the testimonies come from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so this call to prayer I'm sensing as I'm kind of walking through this year with you, I'm sensing this, oh, we need more time in the secret place because as long as our ear is filled with heaven, we won't have bad testimonies. We'll have good testimonies. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about prayer. I want to preach a message today that I'm calling Spaces. I was going to call it Places and Spaces. They're two separate messages I found out as I was working through it. It would be too long. Places for me are where I see in the scripture that God engages with humankind, with men. It doesn't matter where they are. You have people like Moses out in the wilderness. Sinai comes. He goes, I'm going to meet with Moses here. Gideon is in a wine press. He just has an encounter with an angelic force. Throughout the history of the Bible, we just see Jacob walking in a field and all of a sudden he sees a stairwell to heaven. There are these moments where God creates a place where he meets with man, and that's a wonderful thing. But today what I wanna do is I wanna talk about spaces. I wanna talk about where we engage with God. I wanna talk about how Jesus constantly found himself going to the lonely place, constantly finding time to withdraw from the crowd and have opportunity to get heaven in his ear. And so you'll recall that we spoke in our last conversation around prayer, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, Jesus's disciples asked him, Rabbi, would you teach us to pray? And he said, when you pray, say, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And many accounts say, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. And so we looked at that line by line, and the point that we wanted to make in that message was simply this. I don't know how you're currently treating prayer, but I often find that when it comes to prayer, we treat it like a discipline that we have to kind of tolerate at times. That we're asking ourselves, have I been praying enough? Did I get my hour a day? Is an hour enough time? It's almost this kind of chore that we work through, or as I joked about in the previous message, it's like wheatgrass. You drink it because you know it's good for you, but you hold your nose while you do it, and you're just going, all right, I did it, check, and we check it off. And we kind of go through the motions. And I believe that part of the reason we can get into that context where we feel like prayer is something that we far more tolerate or it's a practice that we discipline ourselves to is because oftentimes, as Jesus said, hey, ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Well, I don't know about you, but I've prayed prayers and the thing that I asked for didn't happen. Anybody else go, yeah. And so we get to a place sometimes, I think, where we go, I prayed, but I don't feel like heaven moved. I don't feel like it changed anything. And so eventually we keep going, I've asked, and it doesn't seem to be working. So is it necessary that I do it every single day? Or we get to a place maybe of shame and guilt where we say, I'm praying, but I don't feel like someone's listening, or I don't think it's working. I think I'm just doing this wrong. And so if you'll recall, we just had to redefine our view of how we looked at prayer. That prayer, there's absolutely opportunity to ask and for petitioning and to ask the Lord. But prayer is not about a transaction. Prayer is about a relationship. that the goal of prayer is that we are communing and connecting with our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, hey, connect with him. Call him your Father, not just your Lord. Ask him for daily bread. Ask him for the things that you worry about. Give your anxieties to him. He is your Heavenly Father who can more than able receive those things. And the reason that this is important is that the moment you say, oh, prayer is a relationship, not a transaction, well, then when you ask a question like, what is successful prayer? Well, then it's about intimacy, not an outcome. When you ask the question, am I praying right? The question is not, did I get what I asked for? The question is, have I connected with my Heavenly Father? And so today, I want to just simply ask the question of, how do we foster intimacy with God? How do we grow in intimacy? If intimacy is the centerpiece of our prayer life, communion with God is what we were designed for. If that's the goal, well, then how do we grow that? And that's what I want to talk about today is growing in intimacy. I want to talk about spaces that we engage God in order to grow our intimacy. Here's what I want to point out to us. If I ask the question, how do we foster intimacy? What's the thing that grows us? Here's what I believe. Number one, I look at the life of Jesus and I look throughout the gospel and he continually put himself in different situations to just connect with the Lord. There wasn't a formula to doing it, if I can say it that way. He just looked for opportunities and went and connected with him. Let me just show you some of the things in the scriptures here, just a fast forward of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John even, if we can. Just to give you some context, Jesus going away to what the Bible calls the lonely place or the solitary place. Matthew 14, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark. All the morning people, just give a shout of amen. Let's go, early birds, seize the day, let's go. He goes to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke, often he withdrew to the lonely place to pray. Luke 6:12, shout out to those night owls, and he spent the night praying to God. I don't trust it, but do you? Do you? Luke. Luke 9:18, praying in a private place. Luke 9:28-29, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. John 6:15, and this is just a small glimpse, withdrew again to be by himself on a mountain. My point of just showing this, and that's not even the whole list, my point is simply this. There's not a formula of how to connect with your Heavenly Father. I don't know how things get started, and I don't know who started this specific thing, but if we find the guy, we should kill him. No. I don't know where it started, where prayer has to be this white-knuckling sacrifice of going, the more painful it is, the more spiritual it is. Show your devotion. I'm a night owl, but I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm not going to stop praying till the sun comes up. And you're just like, I love prayer. It's like wheatgrass. Or staying up all through the night. There are moments where the Lord arrests the moment. It's a place. And he wakes you up at 2 in the morning and he goes, we're going to talk right now. And I go, that is totally possible. But this idea of creating a lifestyle of prayer, why does it have to be a horrible experience? Why can't it be a place that we long to get to? Why can't it be the highlight of our day, not the part that we're tolerating in our day? So I want to talk about making space. And if I ask the question of how do we foster more intimacy, here's what I believe, that intimacy is found in this, that longing creates consistency, and consistency is what leads to intimacy. Longing drives consistency. Consistency leads to intimacy. What do I mean by that? If you remember your very first date with your spouse, I wouldn't describe it as intimate as much as I would awkward, especially if I'm on the date. it was good. It was just awkward. But we're figuring each other out. We're getting to know each other. Tell me more. I'm just, Greg, I don't know what you, suave is not how they describe Tyler Hanel. It's more of a, yeah. I'm a big dose to take in all at once. And that first date can be awkward. But the 100th and one, that one is a little bit more vulnerable and transparent. 500 in, 1,000, now you're really starting to know somebody. The more consistent you are engaging with someone in your life or engaging with the Lord, the more consistent you are in engaging in moments of intimacy, that intimacy grows. Trust grows. You begin to open up your heart and open up your life. So then when you ask the question, well, then how do you create consistency? Well, you create it by longing for it, making it attractive, something that you want to do. When it comes to date nights with my wife, I don't see that on the calendar and go, all right, do I have to have 5 minutes, 30 minutes? Is it an hour? What constitutes it a date night? How long do we have to go on a date? I long to go on a date night with Nicole. I actually got to go on a date night with Nicole last night because aunts and uncles were in town. Uncle Tusso here, an absolute saint. He played Nintendo Switch with my 8-year-old daughter. Just bless you, sir. Bless you. Wild party. It was a wild party so that mom and dad could go out. If you gave Nicole and I a part of our date budget, an extra $50, we both know exactly where we're going. We're going to Rumi's, an Alpharetta Mediterranean cuisine. Has anybody been to Rumi's? Oh, closest thing to heaven we've got so far, people. It is, man, filet mignon the size of your fist and then another one on top. It's just profound, profound. When I walk by that restaurant, when I walk by and I feel the heat of the lamp because they have this beautiful heated patio area, immediately I go, oh, date nights. I walk by it, I can smell the bread off of their brick oven that's right off the side. They make fresh naan. I can hear the music inside, and immediately I go, now that's where dates happen. I can't wait for the next one. I long for such a place. For me, I don't know where we started it, but I think that making a space that you long to get to with you and your Heavenly Father, I think is one of the very beginning practices that we can do to have a healthy and vibrant, intimate walk with the Lord. I wanna talk just very practically. It was funny, as I was fleshing out this message, I feel like 80% of this message is application, whereas normally it's a 30% thing of, hey, try this at home. I really wanna get into the practical nuts and bolts of how do we connect with Jesus? How do we find time away with our Heavenly Father? I wanna talk about how do we make a space that you long to get to. One of the things that I want to talk about is this overview here, is this simple point. God gave us our senses to see, taste, smell, touch, hear. He gave us these senses as tools to stir our affections towards him. These are beautiful gifts that we have that are not just for enjoying life, which is an absolute gift from God, but these are tools that we use in our lives to stir our affections and longing for him. Oh, that I would meet with him in his courts. That there's a space for us to create as we go to. We create our lonely place, our solitary place where it's him and I, you and him. I just wanna, if you take notes, if not, you can maybe take a picture of the slide or you can take it on your phone. I just wanna ask some questions that I want you to think about this week. Thoughts to help you create your space. I really want us to take time to pray this week, but I want you to think about where do I go when it's time for me to pray? Where's my lonely place? First thing that I want you to ask, and I've already alluded to it, simply ask the question, are you a morning person or a night person, an evening person? How many morning people, the early birds? Let's go, praise God, in good company, as God intended, no. I love the mornings. I love the mornings because I love waking up. The house is silent. I sneak past the girls' room. I go downstairs. I get my cup of coffee. And I love being able to sit on a porch and watch the sun come up. My first thought is, his mercies are new every morning. I might have messed up real bad the day before, but today's a new day. And I love that feeling. I love meeting him in the beginning. Now, if you're a night owl, any of the night owls here, evening people, my wife comes alive at 9:30 to 10 o'clock at night with deep theological questions. And I am no good. We literally had to make a rule that deep conversations had to happen between the hours of like 8:30 and 2 p.m. because that was the best time for us to like sink in. Like I'm drifting off to sleep and she's like, hey, are you awake? And I'm like, yes. She's like, just a quick question. I'm thinking like a logistic for tomorrow. She goes, if I die, will you remarry? what? Will it be for love or for money? I'm like, what is going on? Why are we doing this now? There's no other woman in my life. She's like, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking out loud. She's journaling. She's reading the word of God. But she comes alive. People wake up at night. And I love that the Lord makes us in different ways. Simply ask the question. We want to give the Lord our best time. When are you most alive? Let that be the place you go, oh, it's time for me to go and meet with my Heavenly Father. The second thing that I want you to consider is consider your routine and how you engage with all of your senses. Again, I believe that the senses, they are tools to help stir our affections for the Lord. Can I just give you my morning routine? This is wake up at 5 a.m. I just heard a scoff. Who scoffed? Now, the sun's not up yet. I go downstairs. I've already pre-ground because I don't want to wake up the girls, but fresh smell of like freshly ground coffee. Anybody? Make my favorite. And I don't want folders. I want to like pick the beans. I'm like, if you're going to, just to quote my father, it's life is too short to dance with ugly people. It's like you got, I don't want to, shout out Greg. Here we go. He can say things like that now. He's like, no, I'm fine. I can't be held down. Life is too short for bad coffee. This is just, it's just the truth. It's a good word. Amen. Amen. Tea, whatever that thing is. And I don't want to put coffee in a paper cup because we're not savages. You know what I mean? Like, I want it in a glass mug and I want it in my favorite mug. I have a mug and it's the right size and it's perfect. And I want to feel that warmth in my hand. I'm smelling it. That first sip, are you kidding me? I turn on music, but I don't want the music to be distracting. I don't want lyrics that can pull me away. And so my boy, Matt Borsick, this is gonna make me sound so old. He's got me on Spotify and the station is called Bird Watching Radio. And you're like, what is bird watching? It's like there's elevator music, there's like techno music, there's worship lyric music, and then there's right there, bird watching. Just chill. You got the vibe, you got the vibe. And then this is the last part, and I've got all my friends right here. I want you to either plug your ears or just get out. I like to light man candles. I said it. You go, Tyler, what's a man candle? I go, I have a candle in my office right now called vintage leather. Very different from your regular run-of-the-mill leather. It is a profound candle. Baptist, close your ears. I have another one, it's queued up. It's called whiskey caramel. I won't do the whiskey part. I'm just doing the caramel. I like the smell in my office. Now you go, why on earth, Tyler, are you doing this? Because I'm a little weird. No, I do it because when I think of prayer now, I think of, oh, I'm getting to have a coffee with my Heavenly Father. I'm not going to a place that I don't look forward to. I'm going to a place that I long to get to with Him. Like smelling fresh bread at Roomies. I'm like, oh no, vintage leather candle. I long for that place. Consider your routine. Give yourself, and it can look however, but when you think about getting away, when you look at your calendar for the day or for the week, and you see time with the Lord, I want you to make it a place that you long to get to. The third thing is this. I've appreciated the older that I get, and that is be a student of yourself. This is like one of my things. I learn about yourself and how you operate. And I already said it, but what's the best creative time of your day? When are you most alive? Consider that. One of the things that I found is that it's just an interesting thing. When I am most physically exhausted, I am most emotionally attuned to myself and mentally acute. I think it's because emotion for me, you're never going to be able to feel deeply if you're moving too quickly. And when you're physically exhausted, you know what the beauty of that is it forces you to stop. And it's in that moment that I go, oh, I have an opportunity to connect. So if whether it's I'm out on a run and I'm at a point where I need to take a breath, it's at about that point that the Lord goes, hey, let's talk. What is it for you? Consider your rhythms of life. We've talked about this before in series, ways of life or a rule of life. What are the rhythms of your life? And leverage those things in your time of prayer with your Heavenly Father. The last thing, and this is just, we'll say it quickly, but consider adjusting to the seasons. I've found this to be the case. We just had a fresh snow. Anybody enjoy the snow? The quietness of that morning in the first snowfall before any of the kids ruined it with snowmen and snowball fights, just white fields. It was so quiet, and we had a fire in our living room, and to sit there with a good cup of coffee and to reflect. Man, heaven came to earth for me in those moments. In the summertime, when you don't need a jacket on, to be able to walk in the morning and watch a sunrise, or if it's in the sunset for the evening folks, to take deep breaths. Or perhaps it's the springtime. I'm getting into the details, but right after it rains, you walk outside and you can smell the water in the air, that fresh feeling. For me, fall, by far the favorite. You gotta invest in a bonfire, both for building community with people, but also sitting by a fire and talking with the Lord. These are spaces that we create and we go to engage with our Heavenly Father. And I think that you and I, we need to focus on making space for him and making a space that we long for. Now what I wanna do is I wanna talk about, okay, you set your space this week. Now what do we bring into that space? Teach us how to pray, Jesus. And he covers a number of things, both in Matthew chapter 5-7, which is the full Sermon on the Mount, as well as in that little middle section where he speaks to us about how we ought to pray. But if you're brand new to faith especially, sometimes you can say, well, what do I say? What should I be thinking on? I just wanna give you just 6 things to run through as you pray. And it's all about your life and who you are. I'm gonna just tell you really, really quickly. I want you, when you come into that space, 1, consider your body. 2, consider your mind. 3, consider your heart. 4, consider your soul. 5, consider your spirit. And the last one to close out your prayer, consider your hands, or perhaps your feet and your ears. We'll talk about that one. When it comes to these things, when I mean to consider your body, Jesus said it plainly, both in the prayer that we already looked at of give us today our daily bread. I want you to think about coming in that space and reflecting on the physical needs of your life. Are you sick? Are you in need of healing in your body? Do you know somebody who's in need of physical healing? Are you worried about provisions? Are you worried about paying the bills? Feeding yourself, feeding your family? What are the physical things, the resources that you need? Again, Jesus said, hey, when you pray, pray, give us today our daily bread. Jesus said, ask for anything. Ask and the door will be open to you. Knock, he's gonna open the door. Seek him, you'll find him. Ask, it's yours. I love what he says in Matthew chapter 6, 25, 34. It says this, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Why? He says, consider the birds and consider the flowers. He goes, they don't do anything to deserve reward or gift from their Heavenly Father, the one who creates all things. And he goes, but the Lord takes care of them because he cares for his creation. He takes ownership of his creation. He goes, these things that are just animals in creation, how much more so does he care about those that he made in his very image? He cares about what you need. When you come into that space, at the very beginning level, to simply say, okay, how are things going in my life? And ask him. I love Matthew chapter 7. It says again, ask for anything, seek and you will find. But at the very bottom there, he gives this parable and he says, we who are evil parents is what he says, or imperfect parents, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We would never give our child a stone if they asked for bread. And then he turns it and he goes, so how much more so your perfect Heavenly Father? He knows that what you need before you even ask. Ask. The second thing as we move on is your mind. I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 6-7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, make with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, present your request to him, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. When I come into this space, I think about my body and I say, Lord, I'm reminding myself that you're my provision, not my boss, not my paycheck, not making sure that the bills get paid. You're the one that provision comes from. And when it comes to my mind, Lord, you are the one who settles my fears, my anxiety. You heal my depression. So ask you, how's your mind doing? Go to that space and give your anxiety to him. Be anxious for nothing. The third thing is bring your heart, your emotional well-being, the emotional well-being and healing that you need. Perhaps there's unforgiveness in your heart that you need to release and let go of. I'm gonna speak to all the men, if the men can look at me real quick. This is profound. I was studying this week. Did you realize that there are more than 3 emotions in this world? I'm telling you the truth. I know what you're thinking. You're like, there's only three, Tyler. Happy, angry, and more angry. I'm telling you. No, there's more. There's more. In fact, I've got it up here, a graphic. Here's all the emotions. Like, you can't see it because there's so many here. In the center, I'm feeling, I just want to turn our attention, love. Guys, there's a part of love that's called enchanted. When's the last time, if I asked one of my friends, hey, bro, how you feeling? I'm enchanted. apparently, all the ladies right now, they're going, Tyler, that's Monday. That's just the day right there and the whole thing. I've got two little girls. It's just like a spin of a wheel situation. Feel everything all at once. Here's a trap that we fall into. We say things like, oh, Tyler, no, that's not me. I'm not an emotional gal. I don't have a lot of, that's not true. That's how God made us. Again, this space for me, when it comes to emotional well-being, to couple with prayer, you need the spiritual discipline of slowing down. You'll never be able to feel deeply if you're moving quickly. When you come to this space, people ask the question, okay, Tyler, if I'm gonna grow in my prayer life, like how long should I pray each day? That's an outcome-based way of thinking. If I pray this much time, then blank will happen. Go to that space, and you're more than welcome to leave that space when you've wrestled down what's going on in your heart. Some days, that's 15 minutes for me. Sometimes it's multiple days of going, I don't know what this is about, because I only have the three. No. Slow down. Feel deeply. Everybody has this level of emotion, but not many people slow down long enough to truly feel. I love these verses in Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 139. It says this, just a statement about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And the men said, yeah, that makes sense. Now the answer is there. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. David turns that around and he says this beautiful statement in Psalm 139. Search me, God. I might not be able to get this, but you know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in ways of everlasting. Who can know my heart? God can. Go to that space and say, Lord, search my heart. And where I'm not right, would you heal my heart? I might not have all the wisdom to figure this out, but I know you do. Let's talk about the soul. David was such a fascinating figure because he was one who really spoke honestly in the writings of the scriptures. We see it throughout the Psalms, and we see him have this profound conversation with himself. I know when we talk about the soul, we say mind, will, and emotion. So you can say, well, is that like, Tyler, you've talked about the mind, you talked about the heart. Isn't that part of the soul? Here's just the distinction I'm making for the sake of this conversation. For me, I'm talking about the will. Have you ever been in a place where you've been physically fine? You would say emotionally, my heart's feeling full. But then I go, hey, how you doing? I just feel dry. I feel like I'm plateaued. Something's off. And I love what David said. It's like he's looking in a mirror and he's speaking to himself. You can pull up Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6 and then 11. He says this, talking to himself, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And then he begins to tell himself what to do, speaking to his will. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you, God. He reiterates that again, and he says, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And then we know the famous psalm of Psalm 23. The Lord restores or renews or refreshes my soul. When we come into this space we are reminding ourselves, Lord, my body is sustained by you. Lord, my mind is settled from all of its fears by you. Lord, I'm coming into this space because my heart can only be healed by you. Lord, you refresh my soul, and that's why I'm here. Then we have our spirit. And this one is really, really important. I mean, this one for me is the one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Just the writers speaking on the same coin, just on two different sides. Peter makes this statement, dear friends, speaking to believers like this in a church, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. He makes a statement, hey, remember, when it comes to this world, we are foreigners and exiles. This is not our home. Then he makes the statement to the believers again, or not him, but Paul rather in Ephesians. Paul takes it this way. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Not about this world. He's saying you're no longer strangers to the kingdom of God. You are fellow citizens and people, also members of his household. Your soul needs refreshing and your spirit needs a home. And for me, I love that part of the prayer where he says, hallowed be your name. Because it's not just a statement about the holiness of God, which is true, and that he's set apart. It's also that when you come to this space, you are stepping in out of the world into hallowed ground. I'm coming home for a moment. I'm hallowed. The world has been on me and I'm feeling dusty and dry. You know what I need? I need to walk into my home. You know that feeling after a long day of work and the first day you step in and you turn and there's two little girls smiling and giggling at you. It's warm, you can smell the oven on, dinner's cooking. I'm home. Your body is not sustained by bread, but by every word that comes from God. Your mind is to be anxious for nothing. Your heart is to be full and generous and alive and overflowing. Your soul is to be fresh and renewed, like that spring grass water smell when you walk out after a rain. That's what the soul should feel like. And your spirit longs for a home. The last one I want to talk about is your hands. And I think this is really, really important. After we come into the space with our Heavenly Father, we need to take an approach like we see in the Old Testament and in the New and remind ourselves he is our Heavenly Father, but he is also our Lord. And we ask him as we close out our time of prayer, Lord, I'm about to go back into the world. What is your will and your good pleasure? I am your servant. Command me to do your work. Jesus said this often, I am here to do the Father's will. North of the church, we're going into a promised land. We're going to take ground. We are here to do the work of God. I love a Sabbath rest, and I also love to do the work of my Father, and you should long to do his work as well. There's those two verses and passages speaking about the hands. Psalm 119, 9 to 10. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word that I find in the secret place. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Isaiah's famous line, here I am, Lord, send me. Jesus said, when you pray, say. And this week, when you pray, consider your body, consider your mind, consider your heart, consider your soul, your spirit, your hands. Your life belongs to him, and he is the only one who can fulfill the desires of your heart and soul. It is our critical event here every Sunday that we create a space for us to commune with our Heavenly Fathers. I believe deeply in the Word of God. I believe in being fed by the Word of God, but that is not the only part of what Sunday is about. I love worship and worshiping to music and song and spiritual songs and hymns, but that's not all church is about. I love community. I love breaking bread with you. I love laughing. But that is not all it's about. We use those things as tools to engage our senses, to stir our affections for this one ambition, to connect with our Heavenly Father, to see the kingdom of heaven brought down to earth, brought into our lives. This is why we are here. Every elder, every deacon, every staff member, every grace team leader, from the youngest of us in the zeros and twos to all of us here, we are focused on one thing, making a space that you long for every single week. I hope that this community and this house becomes the highlight of your week. Oh, to be in the courts of heaven. Oh, to be in the house of God. Oh, to be with the saints. Why? Because when I get there, I experience life and life to the full. And so I want to just pray for us quickly, and I've asked the team just to create a space, and I want you just to put this into practice right now. I want you just to sit or to stand into worship, and all I want you to do is to consider those six things that we've been talking about. What is the thing that is most heavy in your life right now out of those areas? Let's focus there for right now. If it's heavy on your mind, it is deep within His heart. He cares about it deeply. Present your request to God in this moment. This is the centerpiece of what we do every Sunday. This is what we are hoping that you have, that you would engage and connect with your Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the ones who have even joined our community as members of this house. Lord, I pray for everybody as first-time guests, to those who are attending and just investigating this community, investigating you, figuring out their faith. Lord, I thank you for the believers and the saints that are here and they're serving all throughout the building. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask, would you come and would you bring a peace that surpasses all understanding? Would you bring comfort to our hearts and to our minds? Lord, I pray for supernatural provision for those who are in need. God, I pray that you would heal the deep emotional wounds that we might be carrying in our heart. If there's any unforgiveness in our heart, Lord, would you help us to forgive those who have sinned against us because we have received incredible grace and forgiveness from you. Give us that revelation, God. And most of all, Lord, would you let our spirits connect with your spirit so we can once again have a taste of home. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, Jesus. Amen. Let's take a moment to worship.